What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And tonight we are in episode three of our South American movies. This was your pick, and you chose Pure Blood or Pura Sangre from 1982.
Sure did.
You made a joke. Well, you told me to go easy on it because it was Columbia's first horror movie, potentially. And my thoughts are that this could potentially be Columbia's first movie ever made.
I mean, it might have been, you know.
This was a fucking bitch of a movie to find a copy.
It was, we almost changed movies
We
because of
did.
it.
Because you had found it on YouTube, but it was only Spanish. There was no subtitles, so
Yes.
we
And
wouldn't
then
have
I
found it.
realized once I started watching your version of it that they totally cut out the opening of the movie before the credits, which
Oh,
makes sense
really?
because it's YouTube, right? They can't show what's at the
Right.
beginning. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they cut it out of the YouTube.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
why it was sh a little bit shorter then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense because I saw the YouTube, the length of it was only an hour and a half, but the
Yeah. Because,
version
yeah, I
they
started like watching it and I was like, did Mark pick the wrong movie? Like,
had.
so I fast forwarded a bit because it said an hour 37. I was like, this isn't the same one. And then I fast forward a bit and I was like, oh, they cut out the violence, which makes sense because it's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, and it was some risque violence. But anyways, before we talk about this one too much, we'll kick off our news and booze. Said box. Do that a lot lately to cast all of
I
them.
know. I know.
All right, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm just drinking Stella Artois. I wish you.
I'm a creature of habit, just my Michelob again.
Nice.
What did you get up to watching this past week?
Movie wise, didn't watch too much. Just kind of was bored, so I threw on Furious 7. Because I hadn't logged it on Letterboxd yet, and I'm trying to clear out some collections, and also it's on the top box office worldwide. So threw that on. And then my Andorra Criterion came in, so watch that on the weekend. And yeah, and then binged Battle Camp on Netflix.
Nice.
I just finished the last episode just before we recorded, so
Awesome.
yeah.
How was the Anora 4K?
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Still
I'm
like the
excited.
movie as much?
Yeah, I think I may have bumped it up a star or left it the same. But yeah, I'm excited to check out the special features on it because it has like audition tapes
Okay.
on it. So I'm interested to see kind of what that process is like, and
Yeah.
it'd be kind of cool to like listen to the commentary. Like, I feel like that's something that I don't take advantage of with all the fucking physical media I have, is like the commentaries from like directors or actors kind of like talking about the movie. Cause you know, it's like we watch the movie and like we watch it three or four times. It's like, why not just throw in like the director's commentary or something, right?
Just on one of the rewatches, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah, what would you?
I only watched one movie. And that was Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, yeah.
The IMDb top 250.
Ah, okay, nice.
I've watched it before, but like there's a bunch of them on there that I've watched and I just haven't logged, haven't watched them in a
Yeah.
while. So I just,
Nice.
one of them, a long ass movie, but it's so good.
It is, yeah.
Sarah started watching, actually, I think she finished it, that apple cider vinegar. So I watched a couple episodes of that. I might go back and
Okay.
watch it.
Nice.
Other than that, I haven't really done a whole lot. It's been a,
I don't know if it's my headphones, but your audio keeps cutting out.
cool.
It'll be like every like fifth or sixth word just be like, I can't hear you talking. I don't know if it's my side or
Not any better?
it's definitely louder for sure.
Okay, let's turn it down then. I hope that doesn't happen in the recording.
We'll see. I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
All right. Fuck's sakes. I've been noticing whenever I was editing that like my voice kept dropping out a little bit every now and then. And I attribute it to this. Like I have, it's a Wi-Fi or a
Oh,
USB
yeah.
thing. So I had all my shit plugged into that. So I unplugged it tonight to see if it would make a difference.
Yeah.
Apparently it has, but not for the better.
Well, it's fine so far, so.
All right, we'll see.
Okay.
If it keeps happening, I might change my USB ports and just see if it's something like
All
that.
right.
But what's next? News. I don't have a whole lot because I forgot to look, but apparently we're getting a Practical Magic 2.
Okay.
I didn't know that. They just confirmed a release date of September 18th, 2026. With Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock coming back. The Toxic Avenger reboot is getting an NR rating. So
Okay.
it's unrated
Yeah.
for ultraviolence, mutant nudity, and much, much more.
All right. All
I'm
right.
so excited for this fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage, Elijah Wood, like,
I feel
it's.
like we've been waiting for it to come out for like 4 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it got dropped, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have a distributor. And this isn't going to mean anything to anybody outside of Ontario or like our neck of the woods, but I just found out tonight that Robert Englund and Heather Langenkamp are going to be at the Ottawa Comic Con,
Yeah.
which is
Yeah.
super fucking cool. So we're definitely going to have to go to that.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that's all I have.
Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room?
The elephant in the room.
That we don't try to get too political on these episodes, but there's a pretty significant announcement that was made on Sunday night by Mr. President Trump.
Oh yeah, I guess, yeah, I guess we could do that. We're angry.
We're angry,
Rabble,
but
rabble.
I mean, I don't think it's gonna happen because he's already kind of backtracked on the whole thing. He's set up meetings and all this shit. Like, I really, really hope nothing happens with this. Like, and also, how do you tariff a movie? Like, it's not a physical product that you're shipping. Like, are you tariffing like ticket stubs?
Yeah.
Like, what? But like,
The
if it does
distribution of it.
happen, yeah, distribution. Like, if for some reason this goes through, it will totally decimate the movie industry,
Yeah, it will.
especially the foreign movie industry. And for us up here in Canada, it will absolutely destroy the Canadian film industry because we do. I think it was like $374 billion a year is part of our revenue for, not just only Canadian movies, but obviously the US filming here, right? And
Yeah, because we get a lot of movies that are filmed in Toronto, Montreal, like out in Vancouver. So it's they're big movie cities.
So
But yeah, for those that didn't know, Trump announced the other day that he was going to put 100% tariffs on movies that weren't made in the United States. Which, yeah, it's concerning for people like us who enjoy movies a lot, because you made a good point that like Was it the latest Mission Impossible movie?
Yeah, it cost $400 million to make.
Yeah.
It was filmed in like the UK, Budapest, whatever. So he threw a 100% tariff on that. That's $400 million tariffs, like $800 million, right? Like the bigger companies like Disney and all those, they'll find ways around it, like if it does happen. But for the smaller films, right? Like if their budget is only, I don't know, like $120 million, it costs them 100 million and then they have to pay, you know,
Another on
another
top.
100 million. Like, is it even worth making the movie? Right.
Yeah, like you automatically have to double your ticket sales before you even release the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Super shitty. I hope it doesn't happen.
yeah. It definitely caught me off guard. Like,
Yeah.
that was like the last thing I expected. It's like, you know, kind of put up with all of the other bullshit. I don't really talk about it, but like, you know, once you touch our movies, like, that's just like, come on, man. Like,
Yeah, and it's kind of my
it's.
fault. Like, I think that was your wake up. Like, I think I said it to you at like
It was,
6:30 in the morning. I was like, this motherfucker's making it personal now. We don't care about our cars and our aluminum and all that shit. Just give us our fucking movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But
but yeah.
yeah, it sucks. I hope it doesn't happen. Anyways, while we're on the vein of physical media, what do we have for 4Ks coming in?
Take a look. And like if it does happen, will physical media go up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's already expensive.
Yeah. So we got Lilo and Stitch on 4K. I'm
Nice.
guessing that's because the new Lilo and Stitch is coming out, I don't know, soon, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think in the summer.
Yeah.
Which, what do you, what are your thoughts on that?
I saw the trailer sometime, I forget when. But it looks actually pretty good. Like, it
Yeah.
looks decent.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah. What Lies Beneath? 25th
Great movie.
anniversary. I don't think I've ever seen it actually. The Umbrellas of Cherbourg on Criterion, and In the Heat of the Night on Criterion as well. That's it.
Short list.
Yep.
Is my mic still cutting out?
No, you're good.
You had me scared. A PTSD from all the golden years back in the day.
The golden years, oh, man.
All right. Well, let's talk about this movie.
Let's do it.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Pure Blood from 1982. This movie hails from Colombia. Starting off with the very long synopsis. Roberto Hurtado, a rich old man, suffers from a blood disease. So he requires transfusions of a rare type of blood from young men. His son Adolfo blackmails the nurse and two drivers involved in a sexual crime to get the blood kidnapping, to get the blood kidnapping, killing, and stealing the blood of their, which raises terror throughout Cali,
Yeah.
which I'm guessing is a city in Colombia.
Yeah, I think so.
Apparently, this movie sparked a whole type of subgenre called Caliwood.
Okay, didn't
Which I
know
didn't
that.
know. I just randomly saw that on the internet. But yeah, it was directed by Luis Ospina. And I just said he did a bunch of Spanish movies that I've never heard of.
Fair.
For the cast, we have Gilberto Ferrero, plays Carlos Maiolo, plays Perfecto. Florina Lemaitre plays Florencia. Humberto Arango plays Ever, and Luis Alberto Garcia plays. Do you have any honorable mentions, Brooke?
I do actually.
You what?
No, I'm
Okay.
kidding. I don't.
All
No.
right. I was like, what the fuck? What did I miss? This movie was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was filmed in 1982, and it's not like we watched it on a 4K release copy, but holy fuck, dude.
Know. I went to the eye doctor last week and, like, I'm getting a new prescription and, like, this prescription is, like, fucked. Like, he showed my new prescription and he's like, that's your new one. I was like, that's incredible. Like, I wish I had my new glasses while watching this movie because, like,
It was hard to
this is,
see.
it was. This is definitely not a,
High budget movie.
high budget movie, and hopefully this gets a 4K release someday,
No.
Yeah,
I think on IMDb, it's only been logged by, it was under 1,000 people. I don't want to
it's
see your
300
score.
reviews on it.
Oh, sorry, 2,300.
Oh, okay.
I must have been thinking of that. But still, I mean, 2,300 is not a whole lot.
No, I mean,
But anyways, ready to dive in?
sure. Yeah, so talked about Pure Blood from 1982. Now, usually you skip the question. Usually you ask me,
Oh,
what made you pick this movie? To be honest, the fucking movie poster is sick.
yeah, it is actually.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it sounded interesting.
Yeah, like whenever you said that it was your movie, I looked it up like immediately and I was like, oh shit, this looks like,
Yeah.
and like the picture on Letterboxd, like as the banner.
Yeah.
Like that looks cool. Like I was like,
It
oh man,
does.
this guy's like a fucking creepy ass vampire and shit.
That's what I thought too. And then it turns out, no, it's just a kid's mask.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the movie poster looked sick as hell, and it sounded interesting. So yeah, I'm sure this won't be a very long episode. So
I was thinking that too.
movie opens up. There is a camera going through these murders, pretty gruesome murders that happened. Then it cuts to a guy, Perfecto. Interesting name. He is in one of those kind of like red rooms, like where they develop pictures and stuff. And I'm guessing that he was the one that was a part of the murders that we just went through. Because for some reason, I mean, he gets off on this stuff. He, listened to it.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah. So he's, for some reason, he developed these pictures that they took of these murders. And then it cuts to Roberto getting transported from an airplane onto a stretcher, like this old man, like frail, like big white beard, white hair. And he gets to the hospital slash, like, it didn't really seem like a hospital though. Like,
Yeah, it was almost like a hospice room almost.
yeah,
It wasn't like a full-blown
there's
hospital.
nuns, and like he has like a nurse that looks after him. But you meet his dad, Adolfo, talking to
His
a
son.
doctor. Yeah, Adolfo's the son, yeah. Talking to like a doctor or someone who was working on Roberto, and he's basically telling him, like, your dad has this rare blood disease where he needs a certain type of blood. It has to be a male, like young male, basically. And I don't know how they got to this point or why, but that's how the movie goes.
It has to be like fresh young blood.
Basically needs transfusions.
Yeah, constantly to like, because his blood's basically poisoning him.
So now we meet well, Adolfo is going to the blood bank with Perfecto to pick up some blood. Now, I didn't really understand their relationship because, like, obviously this isn't in English. So is Adolfo related to Perfecto?
Perfecto and Ever are the drivers. Because, like, I think Roberto is like a mob boss. It's kind of what it seemed like, or like a boss of some sort.
I think because he owned the sugar factory, I think, right?
Something like that. Because, like, Adolfo is trying to get into this, like, sugarcane business too,
Yeah.
that we find out later on in the movie. So I think Perfecto and Ever are their drivers, and then
Okay.
Florencia is his nurse.
Yes.
So yeah, like it's like Roberto and Adolfo are their bosses essentially.
Right. Okay. Because it seemed like I thought that the kids that Perfecto was going to see was like his kids. I didn't realize that he's the driver, but that makes sense. So he goes to the blood bank to get the blood, and then while he's in there, Adolfo is like looking, drops down like the sunshade or whatever, and the pictures drop down, and it's the pictures of the murders. It's like, why the fuck do you have this in your car? Which I love the scene later with Ever. Yeah, so he's looking at the photos. And so then they get called into Adolfo's office, all three of them, the nurse, two drivers, and they're like, oh yeah, it's payday. Fuck yeah. And they get in there and then they get paid or everything, they're walking out. Then Adolfo is like, no, come back here. Like, I think you know what we're talking about. He brings the photos out and basically like, I know what you guys did or are doing. And as Florencia knows that the situation with my father, I want you guys to basically get the blood for me and I won't turn you into the cops, basically, is what he's saying. But I don't think he knows about the even worse shit that's happening, right? What Perfecto is doing to the teenagers, you know?
Yeah, because they're not just, well, he's not just killing them, desecrating their bodies, to put it in a nice way.
And like the rest of them are like just so okay with it. Like at one point, Frencia like walks out of the room and like the little boy, well, not little boy, it's like a teenager. He's like naked on the bed and Prince is like, how do you get off on that stuff? It's fucked.
It's like, oh, that's just perfecto.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the stuff in the hospital with Roberto was weird because he has like this like TV with like a camera and he can like watch the cameras in other parts of the hospital. Like I thought that was really weird. So at one point, like Francia is like, oh, I'll be right back, gotta change my clothes. And then like Roberto hits a button, he's like looking through and talking to her, and she's like, oh, which one do you want me to wear today? And he's like, the one that opens on the front. And like, it's so weird. And he loves his movies, man.
He does. At one point, he's watching Citizen Kane.
And he fucking hates it. And he says, don't ever put on a black and white movie for me
Love that.
again.
I love that.
Yeah, so they end up Florencia, Perfecto, and Ever. They do end up capturing a teenager, whatever. And it kind of shows like, so they, she injects them with like a, I don't know, some sort of sleeping agent to put them to sleep, and then she takes off all their clothes, and then she like pricks their finger to test what blood type they are, I believe. And then she basically drains their body of blood, like, you know, a cooler's worth of blood, right? Which I assume that they're dead, obviously, right? We don't see them actually die, but you just assume that they're dead. Then they usually drive the bodies out somewhere, and Perfecto and Ever just toss the body. They don't even bury it, just fucking toss
They
it right
just
in the
throw it.
open. Yeah.
I guess maybe in Colombia, shit like this happens more often than up here. Would you consider Roberto a
You know, I mean, technically, I guess.
to a certain extent? Like, he's not drinking the blood, but.
See, this is where, like, the movie, I thought going into it that he was, like, gonna be, like, a vampire kind of bad guy. You know, like, he's the one that's paying people to get blood for him, but he really has no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, he thinks that it's just coming from the blood bank. He has no idea that they're actually killing people.
Probably the most disturbing scene is Florencia giving Roberto the massage.
Do you think she was jerking him off?
That's what I thought at first, and then like the camera goes on his feet, and it's all like fucking oily. And she's just like, oh, it's fucking
She's like,
gross.
"Do you want me to massage you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then she goes right down to his feet. I was like, "Oh, it's a happy ending massage."
Yeah, I was wondering where it was going, to be honest.
This movie definitely didn't age overly well too, because at one point they're on the hunt for a boy to
Yeah, this is the
murder.
next scene. Yeah, exactly.
And they're driving past a black man.
Yes.
And she, Florencia goes, no, no N-words. And I was like, oh, and she hard R'd it
Oh,
too.
I didn't catch that. I
Oh,
must have.
no.
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah,
catch that.
it was a hard R too. I was like, oh, shit.
Well, because that's what I was gonna ask at the end of the movie. Like, I meant to look it up too. Like, were there? Well, it was like the 80s, so I doubt there were slaves. But like, because there's all black men that were cutting down and burning the sugarcane,
Sugarcane,
right?
yeah.
And then at the end, I mean, spoiler. No one's gonna watch this fucking movie anyway. But spoiler alert, like. It's a black man who is working in the sugarcane fields who
Takes a fall.
admits that takes the fall and so I don't know if there was slavery in Colombia at this time or like what the scoop was.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like no,
That's what I felt too.
but there might still be like oppression. Unless it's supposed to kind of like be a metaphor for the way Americans were, I should say.
There was a lot of Afro-Colombians.
It's kind of what I was thinking.
But anyway, so yeah, the next scene they are searching for obviously their next victim and they stop in at a gay bar
Oh, yeah.
and we get this amazing sinning sequence.
We've done, I don't know how many episodes, over 200 now. This was the first scene I've
What do you mean?
in any of our movies.
Like just the singing part or like this whole.
Just the singing part, yeah.
Oh,
Because
okay,
it went
yeah.
on for way too long, and I was like,
It did.
obviously nothing's happening. I'm fast forwarding through this shit because I can't fucking take it. It was
That's
terrible.
fair. It was really bad, yeah. But there's good in the bar for victims. And we see one of the victims is in the bathroom, and Ever comes in and like pulls down his pants and takes a knife out and I thought he was gonna kill him, but then he goes in the stall and he's like just chopping up coke. And the kid is like, "Oh, what do you got there?" And comes in, does a couple lines, and he's like, "Oh, I got a after party, whatever." And he's like, "Oh, I got a friend. We'll bring them too." So
Yeah.
I don't know, the people in this movie are so dumb. It was like the 80s, so I mean, I don't
Yeah, I
know.
feel like that was kind of commonplace in the 80s. Like everybody's doing coke in the bathrooms. They still do now, but I mean, it was more prominent back then and just going back to the and shit. There was less to worry about back then, I feel like.
True. So they go back to the house to bring these two guys back and they're sitting around doing cocaine and I love the scene because Perfecto is just singing like mirror mirror on the wall. It's like who's the fairest of them all, and then like Valencia says Snow White and then does a line of coke. I thought it was hilarious. Then they somehow convince the boys to take, like, put not an IV, but a needle. And I think they tell them it's cocaine that's in the needle. So they take the needle, and obviously, it's just Florencia putting her, like, sleeping agent, or whatever. And then boys pass out, and then, they do their thing. We see Perfecto ends up raping one of them. And they draw their blood and then basically dump their bodies.
You would think because they've drugged them, not only with the sleeping agent, but also with cocaine with these ones. Like, would that not be dirty blood? That
I don't think anyone cared in the
it's fair. All right.
80s. I mean, the AIDS epidemic didn't come out, didn't start
No,
till the
no, no.
90s, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily mean that, but like, this guy needs fresh, young blood. And now he's getting blood transfusion.
That's accurate. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's fair. One part I didn't really understand either. We see Perfecto. He goes to the family, and he's taking the one daughter upstairs to this like room to take photos, and then we see like two boys like behind them looking through these pictures. I couldn't tell what the pictures were. Obviously, it wasn't something that they were supposed to be looking at. Did you get any vibe of like fucking butterfly effect?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like, what were the pictures of? Were they of him killing people or were they of him like assaulting younger children?
Yeah, because he normally only, like he only goes for males normally,
That's
right?
true. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, so we see the new segment. They are talking about they call him the monster of the wasteland. They've are finding three kids a week now. And it's almost Christmas time. Another thing that kind of confused the hell out of me is like, I mean, I don't know what Colombian practices are like for like celebration and stuff, but like all these kids are like dressing up like for Halloween, it looked like, and doing these weird dances and firing off like firecrackers and stuff.
Yeah, it's called the Day of the Little Candle.
Okay.
So it's the evening of December 7th.
Okay.
So it is celebrated every year on the 7th of December. It commemorates the occasion of the Immaculate Conception.
Okay.
So families come together to enjoy a special meal and light candles and lanterns. But yeah, this seemed like a lot different than that.
Yeah.
Like that's where that whole the vampire
Yeah.
Halloween mask comes from that we were
Yeah,
talking about
exactly.
earlier.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And there was like
Well,
a kid dressed up as a devil.
yeah, there's a lot going on, and then like there's like four kids like walking down, and like Perfecto, Frenzy, and Ever pull up, and you know, they're like, "Hey, kids, you want some money or some stupid?"
Yeah. You want to go
They're
for a
like,
ride in this car?
"Yeah, are you from the neighborhood?" "No." "Do you want a ride?" "Yeah, okay. Well, youngest one in first
We can
gets
only
in,
take one
fucking
at a time.
drives off." And then Francie is like, "Oh, you got a dirty face." And it's like, "You a good boy?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, good boy, let me wash his face, right?" And then she just fucking
Chloroforms them.
puts him to sleep, and then somehow, I don't know how, but the kid gets away. And then I was confused about this part because like he walks into like a door, and his mom's like freaking out, like, "Oh, it's the monster or whatever." And then the next morning, like, it looked like the same door. The kid walked out again,
Yeah.
but they had a mask on, getting just cigarettes and liquor for their dad. And then they walk in, and then so all of a sudden they kidnap this kid, and they're driving away, and then they find out, like, "Oh, why does this kid have earrings on?" And they look, and it's a girl, and immediately just dump her out on the street.
Yeah, she's passed out. They just fucking toss her out.
Yeah. And then they find a homeless kid on the street, so they take him. Yeah, and I love the scene of the sister reading the nursery to Adolfo's kids. Like, I don't remember Little Red Riding Hood being that fucking graphic.
She was reading the Grimm fairy tales version of it.
He really was. So then the earthquake happens the next day, and
It's fucking random too.
it was, yeah.
This movie's all over the place.
It is, yeah. Roberto's IV pops out with fucking blood going everywhere, and it's the last of the blood, and he's like convulsing and basically dying. So then they call up Perfecto and Ever, and they're like, "He's out of blood, he's out of blood." So they bring a kid to the hospital, they get him up there, and they have him like strapped to Roberto, and he kind of like walks up, wakes up a bit, and sees like the kid there, and he's like shocked. And then like the sugar, whole sugar thing that we talked about, you find out that Adolfo hired some people to steal the sugar when it was being transported, I think. And a cop got shot, and a bunch of people got arrested. So now these hitmen or whatever are, you know, asking Adolfo for money. So yeah, I think his dad is like the owner of like these sugar factories or something. I don't know. And then like I didn't really understand this part. So the dad is like dying basically, and then Adolfo ends up like switching the names on the blood from like good blood to bad blood. So like, did he kill his dad? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because his dad tells him, like, there's this big monologue where he's never in my life have I ever dealt with criminals, and like I don't want my empire to be ran by criminals or blah blah blah. Meanwhile, Adolfo is trying to get in on this whole sugarcane bit, criminals like the mob, or so I think that's why he.
And after that, he goes into his office and starts burning all the pictures and all the evidence, whatever, and then ends up shooting himself in the head. The dad's dead, but then he survived. It's 1 year later, and also like Perfecto and Flincy and Eva are still like hanging out together and have like family together. I don't know if it's together, but they have kids and just enjoying their life, like everything's back to normal basically. So that 1 year later, before that, yeah, someone else confessed. Some guy named Babalu or something. I don't know what his name was. Basically confessed everything he did, but is also like clearly like not all there in the head because he's going to about like how he's not crazy and God made me do this and all this random but other stuff. And then basically a year later, her Adolfo is still alive, but he's basically like in a wheelchair and vegetable basically.
Yeah, there's very.
And then like it was almost like Roberto was like a god himself. Because at the ending, like all these people around him, like selling these things around his like statue, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I feel like he was like a well-respected man.
Must have been, yeah.
'Cause yeah, like there's a big showing. Not his funeral, I don't know if life that happened later
Yeah.
on or
Yeah. That's it. Anything else? Okay.
no.
All right. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
Yep. All right. How'd you rate this movie?
Well, I don't want to be too harsh on it, but gotta be. Story, I'll give it a 2 out of 10, I guess. I think like the concept is cool and interesting, but I just think that like they just totally failed on putting pen to paper and writing it out. Like the characters I didn't much care for. Obviously Perfecto is like fucked up and so is Ever. And like the whole like sugarcane thing and some like plot holes and stuff like that. But yeah, so 2 out of 10. And for quality, I'll give it a 1 out of 10. Just not a well-made movie. It's 1982, first Colombian horror movie, but like just very, very low budget. The acting was not great at all. I mean, even like there's not much like effects that you can do. Like there's a few like blood squirts and stuff like this, but like nothing crazy. So 2 out of 10 and 1 out of 10.
I didn't write up my score, so I'm just gonna give them the same as you could had meant to. It's just I was so fucking bored watching, and I texted you while I was watching it, our last Fury Road episode, Jupiter Ascending, and I said, well, at least I didn't pick Evermade. I'm so thankful that this was only an hour and like 35 minutes. If it was any longer, I don't know, I probably would have fucking. But
I'm very interested to talk about the ratings for this movie.
yeah, it's interesting.
It is.
But yeah, just overall, I did not enjoy this whatsoever. There was very little redeeming. Like you said, the idea of it's cool. Really. With that being said, unfortunately, this movie not even registered on Rotten.
Really?
Yeah, I searched it, the English name, the fucking Spanish name, could not find it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn. All right.
So I guess we're skipping that.
So yeah, Letterboxd has a 3.6 out of 5. I mean, there's 388 reviews on it and like written reviews, and like a lot of them are like 4 stars, 4.5, 5 stars,
Yeah.
like
Did we
I don't
miss
know.
something?
Maybe you need a better copy of it. I don't know.
Where do we find a better copy?
And obviously no one, none of our friends have watched this movie.
No.
I've only had two other people on my friends list, except for you, obviously. But yeah, I gave it a 1 out of 5, and so did you.
Yeah, I originally gave it a half star.
Okay.
And then I went reading through some of the reviews and I was just like, okay, I can kind of see where you're coming from. How they turn like the story of a vampire, like made it into like its own kind of Spanish thing, and
Yeah.
how it was kind of like a metaphor that was going on at that time. So I gave it, yeah, a little bit higher than what I read.
Yeah.
This is, I think I can say this is my least favorite movie we've ever covered on this podcast.
Wow, okay.
I think I'd have to go back and look, but
Yeah. Okay.
anyways.
Fair enough.
All right, you ready for that scare section?
Sure.
Because somehow this movie's a horror movie, but right, lay it on me. What'd you give it?
I'll give it a 1 out of 10. I mean, like maybe like the realism is a bit like scary, but I feel like nowadays it's less likely that this kind of stuff happens. So yeah, 1 out of 10. Excuse me. Scariest scene, I'll go with the foot massage. That was truly disgusting. You know.
Like that scene in Talk to Me when she started.
Yeah, exactly. And would I survive? Well, I'm a 35-year-old man now, so I think I'm pretty safe. How
I'm the
about
same
you?
as you. Like I think maybe you could give it a 2 just based on the fact that like and stuff like that, but I mean you don't see any of it. It's just all implied. But yeah, I don't understand how this is tagged as a horror movie.
Thriller, maybe
A
more
thriller,
thriller. I feel
yeah.
like there weren't any thrillers back in the then, though.
Yeah, it
But
was either.
yeah.
Scariest scene. I don't know. I guess like just the look of Roberto, like he was kind of creepy looking, I
He
guess.
was, yeah.
Just like old, and he's just, I don't know, old and decrepit looking. And would I survive? Yeah, same answer as you. I'm 36, old of the good blood. They don't
Yeah.
want our blood.
Nope.
All right. It is my pick, the next movie. And we're going to Venezuela.
Ooh.
We're going to be talking about 2013's The House at the End of Time.
Okay.
So I went on Reddit to
Yeah.
find some
Good old
South
Reddit.
American. Yeah, some good South American movies, like high rated ones, and a lot of
Yeah.
people mention so.
Okay.
We'll see how it pans out. It sounds good. It's got a
The
decent
House at the
score.
End of Time.
Yeah, got a decent score.
Okay.
But so did this movie, so that could mean
That's
fuck
true.
all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine any of our none of our listeners, if you do plan on watching it, good luck trying to find it. We ended up finding it on find that website,
Archive.
Internet Movie Archive or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, archive.org. So if you do want to watch it, it's Pura Sangre. Tread lightly, because it's kind of a boring movie. But in the meantime, if you want to check us out on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio, we have our merch, podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd and anywhere that you can listen to it. Thank you for checking out this little known movie.
Thank you. Talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.